Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
What a special day we have for everybody today. Welcome into ABQ Connect. We are joined this afternoon by Fafilia Nez, the First Lady of the Navajo Nation here in New Mexico. Fafilia, welcome.
Yes,
thank you for being here. Just an honor to have you. And I know there's a lot going on in the Native American community and the Navajo community especially. We're here today to talk about Native American Honor Her Conference that you're going to be hosting. And we're also joined by Mercy Allered and Brian Allered. We've had Brian on the phone with us a couple of times. What a nice thing to see your face, Brian.
It's an honor to be here.
Usually I ask him, Mercy, I tease him all the time, where in this great nation are you?
Yeah.
And he's driving somewhere. I don't know where.
That's right.
Well, it's great to have everybody in studio. I know it's hard to get here. We're a live program, so let that stress and everything just leave, and let's just have a neat conversation about what's going on. We all love New Mexico. We love our people, and we want to try to see God bless them and see wonderful things happening. And I know you guys have a lot going on about that. So, Mercy, I'm going to start with you.
Sure.
You started a ministry called the Virtuous Women Ministry, and you're hosting an event Saturday, October 6th. Tell us a little bit about that event that you're doing in the northern part of our state, up by
Gallup,
right?
Yes. It's going to be in Rehoboth, New Mexico on October 26th from 10 to 2 p.m.
Okay.
And we had a similar conference back in May of this year where we brought women together from Albuquerque and Rio Rancho, and we focused on honoring women and honoring the virtue that they have in them. And at that conference, we met First Lady Nez and Second Lady Lizer. They were our guests that day. And after the conference, they were talking about how they would like to bring this to the Navajo Nation, because we touched on subjects that are so important and critical to our state. And we had women there that were doing something about it. It wasn't just, you know, hey, these are the stats about domestic abuse or the stats about sex trafficking. It was, this is what we're doing in our state, and this is how you can get involved. And so they asked us if we could bring it to the Navajo Nation. So it's a beautiful partnership between America Praise. Virtuous Women is actually a ministry of America Praise.
Okay.
And the Navajo Nation. And we've been working on this for months already. And we're so excited to bring this to the Navajo Nation on October 26th. That's a Saturday from 10 to 2 p.m.
Well, First Lady, I'm going to ask you some things that I asked you off air already. You are the First Lady of the Navajo Nation. That's a big responsibility. A lot of people looking for direction and inspiration. Your husband, Jonathan, is the president of the Navajo Nation. We want to wish him the best. I understand he's hustling to get somewhere right now. And I'm going to say this because I've been in New Mexico my entire life. I get nervous about people driving in New Mexico because we've got to start improving the way we drive around here, especially when it starts snowing.
That's true.
Because people think they've got all this traction in the SUVs, but they don't realize they can't stop any faster.
Right.
And so anyway, that's my soapbox for the day. But tell us a little bit about, you met your husband at NAU.
Yes, we did.
And tell us a little bit about that.
So I met him when I was taking one of my undergraduate courses, and he was, I guess, a graduate student and a graduate assistant or a teaching assistant in my 8 a.m. course. And I used to work this job that was overnight at a children's shelter, so I could never stay awake in that course. And I guess by the time I met him a few weeks into the semester, I had dropped that course, but I guess that was the course that he was an assistant in. So that's how we met.
And he saw you, and now the rest is history. Been married for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And tell me about the responsibility that you have being the First Lady.
The First Lady, you know, that role comes with one of the things I really like about it is that I get to, I guess, spearhead my own initiatives. And so during the campaign season last year, one of the things that we did that was very different than any of the other people who were running or their families was that Second Lady and I, we were told we're going to be part of the campaign, like really involved, and we had to speak. And so when you're told you're going to be talking and speaking and engaging with the public, we really had to sit down and think about what it is that we were going to focus on. And so when it came back down to that, I'm a homeschooling mom, And I've been a stay-at-home mom for a long time, 11 years now. So then I had to go back into my own life experiences, everything from childhood to things I've learned from my parents, mentors, everything like that, and different places I've worked and things I've studied, you know. And so, but it really went, came back down to faith, family, and then, of course, service to community. So a lot of this, what's involved, the topics and everything, the people that are involved with Honor Her, that's one thing that really draw me to it.
Well, you apparently, Mercy already described, you attended a conference that was in kind of Rio Rancho. Mercy, I'm going to go to you. You guys have obviously developed a really special friendship.
Yes, we have.
And you mentioned that your ministry is part of America Praise. And, of course, your husband is the president of America Praise, but there's also New Mexico Praise and now the World Praise.
Yeah.
And so while we're talking, and I'm just looking at Brian out of the corner of my eye, really he has got literally thousands of people praying about all these issues while you're planning and you're talking. So that's a kind of an overwhelming thing to know that people are really behind the scenes, just spiritually looking up to heaven saying, we want you to bless these endeavors and these people.
Yes.
And we're going to talk with Brian about that a little bit. Tell me how the culture is different. Is this conference going to be a little different than what
yes.
you did in Rio Rancho?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm going to share my perspective first, but really the perspective that counts is an intro because the perspective that counts is hers. But when we did ours, we prayed and sought the Lord about what Albuquerque needed. And we just looked at the needs. We did a lot of research and said, what do women need and how can we inspire women to do something about it? And so that's how we did it. And we had one team, you know, the Virtuous Women Council got together and some people around the city started hearing about it. It became, instead of just members from one church, it became a council of people from all kinds of churches that came together and put the conference together. And so we wanted to honor First Lady Inez's desire to take it to the Navajo Nation, and we called it is the Native American Honor Her Conference because we wanted it to be something specific for them. And so the format was there, and we said, this is what we do. We speak vision, and then we do a panel of issues that matter to that community. So you know, of course, Fafilia is going to give her vision for a vision of hope for the nation as well. But they chose the issues that were more important to the Navajo Nation and Native peoples as well. And that's how we came up with, you know, the guest speakers who are going to be there. And so the culture is very much at the forefront. Obviously what God wants, but also the culture. What would affect them? How can we inspire them to do something that changes the Navajo Nation from here on out?
Well, Fafilia, tell us a little bit about the culture. It seems to me, I know of many Native Americans that have served our country, and they've given their lives, and they are great Americans. But there's also another nation within America, within the USA, and that is the Navajo Nation. So there's a whole separate culture there. Tell us a little bit about that before we start. What do women need that you think may be different than what you saw at the Rio Rancho conference?
You know, you look at the Navajo Nation, and one of the things, and my husband will, you know, he'll agree with me on this, it is just bringing hope back into the nation, especially to women across, across the, it's very vast, the Navajo Nation. So you see different, it's like there's numerous families, and when we visited over 70 communities last year. And when we got to hear what they had to say, the things that frustrates them, the things that worry them, the things that they're hopeful for, it's just that missing, I think the missing piece is hope. And so, of course, and the way we believe, you know, hope comes from Christ.
Yes.
And without that, there's no other way you can really bring that in. So when and the First Lady, Second Lady's office, that's one thing that we haven't shied away from, you know, to always bring in these faith-based events because it's something that's so essential in our lives and the foundations in our households. And so that's something that I've always clung on to. Sure. And so that's this is our way to show the rest of all the women who show up next Saturday that, you know, hope only comes from knowing Jesus Christ. And here's a panel of women, of showing them honorees of women who have gone through struggles and challenges in their lives, but also people who will be there to share with them how God has worked in their lives.
Yeah, and use those things that were challenges for the best.
That's right.
Well, we've got lots more to go over with Ophelia Nez, First Lady of the Navajo Nation, Brian and Mercy Allred. We'll be back with more right after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Change is inevitable, like the weather. Is your home's heating system running? Remove dampener, check filter, inspect compartments. Wait, I might have to get up on the roof for all this? Inspect heat changer, shut down furnace, properly clean flame sensor. Wait, how do I do that again? Turn on gas valve and check for leaks. Wait, slow down. Gas leaks? Check pilot assembly tubes. Verify blower compartment door is closed. Ready or not, change is coming. When it does, call Bosque Heating and Cooling at 444-7200. That's 444-7200. We'd love to help.
I'm Rob Snead, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of the other guys, old school, hokey games, and cheesy sales tactics, then come experience something new school at Power Ford. Our approach is simple. We make it all about you. Every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty, complimentary maintenance, and roadside assistance. And we also guarantee that we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. Find your ride at mypowerford.com.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
For King and Country, Burn the Ships World Tour.
G'day to you. It's Joel and Luke here.
This fall, we'd like to personally invite you to Burn the Ships of the World Tour on October 19th at Tingley Coliseum.
A stage inspired by the bow of a ship and their most elaborate yet intimate production yet. Every song from the new CD, Burn the Ships, plus all your favorites.
So we cannot wait to embark on this voyage with you.
For King and Country, live.
Reserve your seats right now at forkingcountry.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We have Ophelia Nez, the First Lady of the Navajo Nation, Brian Allred, President of America Praise, and Mercy Allred, founder of Virtuous Women, in studio with us this afternoon. You guys are gracious. Thanks for being here. We are talking about the Native American Honor Her Conference that is going to be Saturday, October 26th, though a week from this Saturday. It'll be held from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Rehoboth Christian School, and that's a little bit east of Gallup. And I want to ask Mercy. Mercy, who can attend? How do they get signed up? And all of that good stuff.
Yes, I am so excited about this because this is called the Native American, right? Honor mm-hmm. Her Conference. So it's designed for Native American women to come. So it's not just for Navajos.
Okay.
It's for any Native American woman who wants to come and join us. And anyone that says, you know what, I'm not Native American, but I would love to be at that conference. I want to see what's happening in the Navajo Nation. Come on over to Rehoboth, New Mexico. And you can get tickets at virtuouswomen.tv/events.
Okay.
Virtuouswomen.tv/events. That's how you get access to tickets. But also what I was going to say is that there are also scholarships available for Native women. These were reserving for Native women themselves. And so we have right now about 20 scholarships that we can give to Native women, and I'm so excited about that. And we are encouraging other people as well. Like on that site, virtuouswomen.tv/events, you can either buy a ticket or you can purchase a scholarship, and you can do that. And you might say, I'm not Native, but I have a heart for Native people. You can give a scholarship there so that more and more women can attend this conference. And we have some generous donors. We have 29 scholarships and counting. So we're hoping to fill that room up with Native women that can get inspired, like Ophelia said, for a vision of hope.
Well, and Ophelia was telling us off air, I asked the question. I mean, I have no hesitation to tell people that are involved in my men's group and people that I know from other ministries, men need to stand up and start loving on women and taking
yes.
care of them and doing the biblical mandate that God says to love their wives as Christ loved the church and give themselves up for their wives. That
yes.
And I have to testify in the same breath. I had a failed marriage, and I did not do what I just said I'd like to challenge men to do. So now I have a little different role. I am single, and there are consequences of having not done the right thing, and those are painful, and I can tell people that straight up. But it's not just painful for me. It was painful to my ex-wife, my five children, et cetera. So I feel like I've got a degree of credibility to say, okay, men, listen up. Now, I'm going to come back to Fafilia in just a second. But, Brian, you're the president of America Praise. And I just got to know you recently, and you started sharing with me this vision of America Praise. And what I found out is that you have coordinated cultures, churches. I mean, you have Catholics and Protestants and Methodists and Baptists and Orthodox and all of these different churches coming out. And they are praying 24/7.
That's right.
Tell us what's going on with America Praise.
Yeah, you know, that that vision just comes from the Book of Acts. So the big idea is, how could we live out the Book of Acts as a community? We believe that the Book of Acts provides the best model to see a spiritual awakening and sustained transformation in a community, in a city, in a state, in a nation. What does that look like when heaven comes to earth? Read the Book of Acts. It's messy and it's not perfect, but you see men and women being transformed. And so all that starts with Jesus. Look, you're going to get power from the Holy Spirit. He comes upon you. Be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. The next thing that we see that they did when they got that command, they went to the prayer room. They understood from the life of Jesus. He modeled for them this dependency on the Father. So prayer is this confession. Father, we can't do anything without you. Unless you build the house, we're laboring in vain. And so Jesus said, I can do nothing of my own. I need my Father. If Jesus needed the Father's help, we don't. I mean, you know.
Yes.
And so prayer is this confession that we're coming to you, Father, because without you, we can do nothing. And so Acts 1:14, they were content devoting themselves to prayer. And this place of continual devotion to prayer, this unceasing prayer movement began. And it's had, you know, times throughout history, church history, where the Moravians in the 1700s did 24/7 prayer for 110 years. But I believe this is God's time and place for the world to see another great awakening through 24/7 prayer. So J. Edwin Orr, the great Baptist preacher, revivalist, said that there's no spiritual awakening that's begun anywhere in the world apart from united prayer. So not just prayer, but united prayer. So that means Baptists and Pentecostals praying together. That means a Methodist putting his arm around a charismatic guy. That means the body of Christ coming together, because the power is in unity.
Well, let me give you a scenario. So you have a young woman here, the First Lady of the Navajo Nation, Fafilia Nez, and her husband, Jonathan, are the leadership of a huge community.
Yeah.
So how do you pray for them?
Yeah.
How do you hold them up?
Yeah, you know, so that we do that. We have seven prayer focuses with America Praise, and so one of those is praying for government. And so 1 Timothy 2, pray for all kings and people in positions of influence and authority. Lift them up before the throne of grace. And so we do that. We do that for government leaders. We just made a decision early on that we'd pray for Democrats and Republicans the same. And we would pray, Father, bless them, give them wisdom to make the right decisions, give them courage once they get the wisdom to know what's right, give them courage to follow through, give them strength, protect their families, watch over them.
I'm great. And as long as you guys aren't praying for the Dallas Cowboys, I'm good. I'm just teasing.
That hasn't happened. But. So we do that for President Nez. I met President Nez when he was vice president. He came out 2 years ago to our National Day of Prayer event and spoke, and his prayer, you weren't there, First Lady, but his prayer over his people for a spiritual awakening to come to the Navajo people. You know, I told my wife, he's going to be the next president. You know, it was like there was no doubt that God's hand was on his life. And so, you know, we've gotten to know them this past weekend. We were in Oklahoma and we prayed with Governor Stitt. We prayed for the governor of Oklahoma, spent 3 hours over dinner, laid hands on him, prayed with him. And so we just believe the power of prayer, that government leaders need prayer. And many of the greatest heroes in the Bible weren't pastoring First Baptist churches, but they were positioned with a government leader. You think of Joseph with Pharaoh. You think of Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar and all those kings. You think of Nehemiah. You think of all these leaders in the Bible that God put in secular places to lift up this men and women in positions of influence. And
Brian,
so,
you also make a good point by bringing that up, that there are people that believe and have a relationship with God, but the positions he puts them in are not always with other believers.
That's right.
And we're commanded to love and care for people that don't believe as we do.
That's right.
And I find that, Fafilia, I think that takes tremendous courage to lead from that position, so that your people know you love them no matter what they believe. Tell how do you accomplish that? How do you communicate that?
I just go follow what Jonathan does. You know, that it really does. I mean, I see how my husband handles it and things that he tells me. You know, he guides me, right, on sure. how to do the work that we're doing, and everything does stem from biblical teachings and principles. And just like you mentioned, you know, you go way back in Old Testament, right? I mean, it was the spiritual leaders who used to lead, right? Yeah. Before we demand it, we want our own leaders or our own secular mm-hmm. governments to take shape. So I think I was always there to remind my husband all through the years that he was in public service, you know, you're only in there if God leads you to be in there. But really it is the, you know, staying as close to God as, you know, and let him lead and guide you on the things that he wants to have him do, to stay in his will, I guess, is really what it is. And so we don't stray from that. And as long as we remind each other of that almost on a daily, weekly basis, I think we know we'll have the peace to continue doing this job for as long as he wants us to.
We are talking about the Native American Honor Her Conference, which will be Saturday, October 26th at Rehoboth Christian School up a little bit east of Gallup, New Mexico. For those of you who geographically don't know where that is, you hop on I-40 and drive west and you're going to see it. And we're going to be back and talk with Mercy about some of the things they're going to be covering in the conference. And I hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Has God shown you that there are things in your life that need to be changed and fixed? Generally speaking, we all have these things in our lives in one shape or another. The difference is if we take care of them right away or not. In the automotive repair world, I've seen this over and over. Catastrophic failures due to people not fixing small issues with their vehicle right away. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we take care of all your vehicle's repair and maintenance needs. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA approved. We are located in Rio Rancho on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing to our facility for repairs. Just ask for details. And with those things God is showing you that you need to change and fix, please don't put it off and let these small issues in your life become catastrophic failures. Jesus stands beside you ready to fix all that is broken in you if you will just simply ask him to do so. And he's already paid the price for the repair.
We can change the world with the words we say. Hi, I'm Lisa Turkers with Proverbs 31 Ministries. One day I was eating in a restaurant, and every time our server came to the table, she had something really kind to say. I was amazed by her gracious attitude, and I found it was quite contagious. So I challenged myself to make a conscious effort to use my words as a gift to each person that I came in contact with the rest of that day. You know, in a world that promotes tearing others down to build ourselves up, we can make a difference by using our words to bless and encourage. Let's look at those who we come in contact with today as people who really need a kind word or two. I've found that giving kind words, it's one of the greatest ways to make the love of Jesus known to so many who desperately need it. For more, visit Proverbs31.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are joined in studio this afternoon by Fifilia Nez, the First Lady of the Navajo Nation, Brian Allred, President of America Praise, and Mercy Allred, his better half, founder of Virtuous Women. I have to say that because I'm not married, so I get to pick on you a little bit, Brian, right? And I'm going to say this as well, and I tease people all the time, but I remember a story about the late Billy Graham's wife, and they ask her a question about what's it like to be married to the greatest evangelist of all time? And she said, well, if I'd have married someone else, he'd have been the greatest evangelist of all time.
I love it.
So great women are really the impetus behind a lot of great right. men. And so, Mercy, I'm going to ask you this question. This is the Native American Honor Her Conference. You've been putting on conferences like this through your ministry, Virtuous Women. What kind of honor should we be giving Navajo women? And I'm assuming we're talking to Navajo men, and
yes.
we're talking to the culture, American culture as a whole.
Yes, yes. I'm going to tell you a story of how this whole thing started, because it started at a restaurant here in Albuquerque. It was a very low point in my life. Not very many people knew other than my husband and maybe a couple friends. And this new friend invited me to a restaurant and said, hey, come have lunch with me. And I almost said no, because I was so discouraged. And she said, just come on over and I'll pay for your lunch and we're going to have a good time. I thought, what are we going to talk about? I don't know what. And we went to this restaurant. We ate for like 15 minutes and then she stopped and she said, I got to stop this. I brought you here just to tell you that God has put you on my heart. And she pulls out this medal that she designed herself, and it says, it's on the front, it says, for courage in adversity. For courage in adversity. And she begins to tell me, because she knew a few of the things that Brian and I had gone through, and she rehearses them and says, you've been through this, you've been through that, and I want to honor you for all the sacrifices that you've made. I want to honor you for standing in the gap for people that others didn't want to reach. And for 20 minutes, she just honored me, and I had no, I mean, it wasn't a script. She just, God put it on her heart, and, wow. and just kept piling honor upon honor upon honor, to the point where the discouragement just left me. It was like somebody, not that I was looking for it, but somebody saw me. I wasn't invisible anymore. And somebody saw the sacrifices that I had made. And not, it wasn't just that, it was that God saw me. And she pulled out this medal, put it around my neck, and said, I honor you today. And that's how this whole thing, honor her, started. And I have to give props to my friend. She's one of my best friends. Her name is Janice Barella. And she has a movement called Honor Her. And that's it, this conference is based on that movement. And so how do you honor women? I believe that every woman and every man is made in the image of God. And there are virtues in them that they don't even see themselves. There are sacrifices in them. There are noble things in them that other people have to pull out of them and bring honor to that. Instead of saying, you're this, you're that, and you're failing at this and that, how about we pull the virtue out of them? How about we recognize the great things that they're doing, the adversity that they face? Another thing is what we thought with the Honor Her Conference, we actually honored a few women that had been through great adversity and had used that adversity to help other people. And that's what the panel is made up from, is women that have been through great adversity. And so it's about these people, you know, they might be 50, 60, 70 years old, and they've been through a lifetime or three lifetimes of pain, and they've come out the other side. They're helping people quietly and doing things that nobody remembers. And so we want to say, we remember what happened. We remember what you did. And not just that, we want you to mentor us, because we're about to go into those bad situations. We're about to go into those marriage problems, and we need your wisdom. Thank you for what you did 30 years ago, but we need you. We want to honor that wisdom that you have, and honestly benefit ourselves from your wisdom. And that's what women need, is just somebody to see them and somebody to listen to them, because there's a ton of wisdom in women's hearts, and that's what we try to accomplish at the Honor Her Conference.
Cecilia, how about Navajo women? And Native American women in general, how do you need to be honored? Is there something beyond what Mercy's described that Native American women need to be honored and encouraged and lifted up?
It's basically this, along those same lines. You know, they just want to be, I know a lot of times that when you start talking about volunteerism and service to others and doing something that helps the community as a whole, a lot of women tend to think, well, I didn't go to school. Well, I don't have my life together. But it just to bring that sense of focus back on themselves as an individual, and just having that connection through the Holy Spirit, you know, that should be more than enough to make them feel empowered and to, you know, to realize who they really are. No matter what circumstances they are in, no matter what their home life or their family life might look like. And so I always think, you know, a lot of this is about encouraging and inspiring Christian women to move beyond just being saved and living this mediocre life, right? It's about moving them into ministry, into service to others, like volunteerism. A lot of them, you know, whether it's starting a business or nonprofit, something to help other women over the children of the families. And so a lot of times I think women forget that just being a parent is a ministry in itself. That's and right. To me, I always think that's our most important ministry in life mm-hmm. is as women, as mothers. You know, it's one thing to be a wife, right? But we also have that responsibility of raising our children, of teaching them, and not just relying on the schools or the child care centers or somebody else to raise them. But it is really on us to teach them how to pray. Well, you know, share with them what our beliefs are. And then, of course, to give them the biblical principles and teachings. And that's something that I really want to, that's something that I think is going to be the main thing that I'm going to always hone in on for the rest of the term. So this is where this aligns with that.
Amen. And Brian, again, I'm thinking of you the whole time over here. You've got all these people praying and we're talking about these issues and challenges. What have you seen, Brian? I mean, I know you've shared some things happening with the Albuquerque Police Department.
Yeah.
You're praying for the Navajo community and their leadership. Can you identify things that you kind of see God doing through the prayers that have been extended?
Absolutely. You know, we believe that prayer starts out as a conversation with God. At first, it's intimacy with Him, but then prayer is also transformational, and it's also an impartation from God's heart to our heart. So when we pray, we get God's heart, and God cares for the hurting. He cares for the broken. He cares for the least and the last. And so last week was at the Saddleback Ranch with Rick Warren. He said something that really impacted me. He said, you know, does God have favorites? Yes, He does. He favors the poor. Because 2,200 times in the Bible, it talks about concern for the poor. Jesus' first message, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to who? To the middle class? To the rich? No. Jesus singled out the poor as the reason I'm here is for the poor. And so we find that when we pray, we get a heart to not just pray, but then to serve. But when you don't pray, it's easy to just say, well, I'm busy. I got my own needs. We got our family. The kids got to get to football practice and I got my own church. But when you start to pray, you get God's heart, and His heart is always for the least and the last and for the broken. And then you start to care and say, how do we serve? And so you begin to see a community through prayer transform to become outward focused and not inward focused, to get out of our church silos, to be part of the community. And we're seeing real transformation here in New Mexico. Our economy is turning around. Crime is going down. And so we went from $250 million deficit to a $1.2 billion surplus in 2 years. And it's $101.5 billion swing in 2 year period, which they said was impossible. But with God, all things are possible. When His people pray, and then we get involved, and then we're seeing crime go down. We've cut auto theft 53% in 2 years. That's
wow.
a big deal. We've cut aggravated assault 44% in 2 years. You cut a metric in half, you know, that's a big deal. So our prayers for the same, for all the pueblos, for the reservations, that as prayer spreads and people get more of a heart, we're going to see transformation. And I see that in President Nez. I see that in First Lady Nez, that they have a heart for their community. They want to see their community transform. They want to see them prosper. They want to see them flourish. And it starts with prayer. It doesn't stop with prayer. It's fueled by prayer, but it's prayer plus action. Faith without works is dead. So pray, but then go be an answer to that prayer and go serve. And I've loved them since I've known them, and since I met President Nez a few years ago when he was VP. I just saw in his heart a heart to transform his community. They're the largest tribe in America. And I see in this heart for prayer, but also for let's bring transformation by finding the right partners, connecting the people that can help make a difference, right?
We have Mercy Allered, founder of Virtuous Women, Brian Allered, her husband, president of America Praise, and first lady of the Navajo Nation, Fafilia Nez, in studio with us this afternoon. We have a couple more segments left. We hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back after these messages.
You found your forever girl, and for the first time, Proverbs 31 makes complete sense. She truly is worth more than rubies. Let John Thomas Jewelers help you find the perfect engagement ring. We have over 2,000 rings in stock to see and try on, the ability to custom make any ring you can dream of, and prices you thought you'd only find online. John Thomas Jewelers at 2440 Louisiana Boulevard on the third floor of the Lewis University building. Stop in and let us know you're a fellow KNKT listener.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
There's a power, and this I've experienced firsthand. On your hardest day, on your most challenging day, when you praise Him when you feel like cursing, when you praise Him when you feel like falling over and dying, when you praise Him when you're mad at Him and you don't understand what He's doing, but you praise Him anyway, and you say, "You're God, not me. I trust You. I honor You. I worship You. You give and You take away. Blessed be the..." I'm telling you, something wells up inside of you. It's better than happiness. It's joy. It's joy inexpressible. It's joy indefinable. It's peace that passes understanding. It's saturated in glory and it's sublime. So we have these wonderful things that we're given. We're also promised that we're in the will. That's great. That's always great, right? You're in the will.
For more Fresh Thoughts, go to levilusco.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Mercy Allred, founder of Virtuous Women, is in a partnership with Fafilia Nez, the First Lady of the Navajo Nation, and of course her husband Jonathan, the President of the Navajo Nation, and Brian Allred, her husband, is behind the scenes coordinating all the people praying over all of this great stuff. I'm still so impressed that you can go to somebody like the Chief of Police. You can go to any Native American community here and you can say, look, there are people praying for you 24/7. That is so powerful. It's so amazing. It's almost inconceivable. And you're achieving that. So congratulations, Brian. I mean, God's doing some great things. And an outflow of that is the ministry Virtuous Women. So Mercy, again, tell us how people get signed up, who's welcome, and where the conference will be this year.
Yes, you can go to virtuouswomen.tv/events to get your tickets. And on that same website, if you cannot join us but would like to partner with us to spread this vision, you can either buy tickets or you can purchase scholarships for people who can go. This is the Native American Honor Her Conference, so we're inviting Native American women from Arizona, New Mexico, or wherever the airwaves take us, right, to come to this conference. But if you're not Native and you say, I still want to be there, you're welcome to come, to buy tickets and come. It'll be at the Rehoboth Christian School in Rehoboth, New Mexico, just a few minutes off of I-40 and by Gallup. So that's where we'll be, October 26th. That's a Saturday.
Tell us some of the things you're going to be talking about at the conference.
I am so excited about the panel that we have. Of course, our featured speaker is First Lady Nez, who's going to give a vision of hope for the nation. She's going to share what her vision is for women in the Navajo Nation, how she wants them to step up and use the talents and gifts that God has given them to bring about a change in the Navajo Nation. And then we have speakers. We have a panel in the afternoon, and it seems unrelated, but it isn't. It was picked, these people were chosen specifically to talk about issues that affect Native women. So we have Second Lady Liza, who's going to be talking about women in business. She's a businesswoman herself, very successful in her own right, and she's going to be encouraging Native women to start businesses, to, you know, if they have started a business, to keep at it and to collaborate with each other to bring businesses into the Navajo Nation. Janice Barella, my good friend that I mentioned before, she's going to be talking about her Respect program. She works in rural areas, and she goes into high schools to mentor students that are going from a rural area to an urban area. And she prepares them for life, because many times when people come from, you know, Estancia and, you know, Raton, New Mexico, they come to UNM, they come to Albuquerque, to the bigger city, and they get overwhelmed by all the options and all the things that are different from their where they are. And so she talks to them about alcohol, about drugs, about bullying, about mentoring, about staying in relationship, and how they can just thrive in a different environment. So we're going to talk about the Respect program, and hopefully somebody in that audience says, I want that at the Navajo Nation. That's my prayer, that somebody would say, I want to do something just like that for the kids in our community. We have Ceci Size, my good friend. She is a cancer survivor, and she, her husband and her went through cancer, and now she's better. But one of the hard things in the Navajo Nation is the high incidence of people with cancer. Mm. And so this is something that was very close to her heart, to Fafilia's heart, to bring hope to those families. How do you cope? And it's not just the patient, but it's the families. How do you cope with cancer? How do you help that person? And what can all of us do for people who are struggling with cancer, for people who are taking care of people with cancer? So Ceci Zayas is going to talk about that. She's a great author and has written great books as well. Roberta Humphreys from For the One is going to talk about sex trafficking, how to prevent sex trafficking. trafficking. That's something that's really important to the Navajo Nation, how to keep an eye out for our little girls and for our young women to prevent them from being trafficked in our state. So we're going to talk about the signs of sex trafficking, how to prevent them, how to rally around our girls to protect them. And when we do face victims of sex trafficking, that we do not shun them and say, well, you must be a prostitute or you must be a terrible girl. No, no, no. We are trying to change the paradigm that these people are victims, that it's sex trafficking, that it's slavery at its darkest and deepest form. We're going to bring awareness to that. And Genevieve Skidmore from Executive Director of the Naomi House will be with us. And she has shelters in Arizona and trying to start one in South Dakota in reservation land to help children that have been affected by sexual abuse, by domestic abuse and neglect. Mm-hmm. And she's going to share a vision of that, again, hoping that people would go, we'd love to do something like this in the Navajo Nation. So, and then I will be speaking, closing the session, on finding virtue in women, talking about the vision of virtuous women. And our vision is simply to unite women, to equip them to discover their virtue in Christ and empower them to disciple others. So just rallying women and saying, hey, you have everything in your power to help other women come up. You can mentor someone else with the experiences you have, the adversities you've gone through. You can mentor a 5-year-old. You can mentor a 20-year-old. No matter what your age is, let's bring each other up from where we're at and let's mentor each other into greatness.
So, Mercy, there's women listening to you right now that are hurting and they're feeling like they're not qualified to help anybody else. What do you have to say to them?
All you have to do to help someone else is have a heartbeat.
Mm.
That's it. That's the only requirement.
So you don't have to be the perfect person.
No. You have a heartbeat. You're alive. You can help someone. And God has gifted you. There are people that are in need right now in your community that I can't help. Brian can't help, regardless of, you know, Brian travels, you know, the United States. He's in Oklahoma one day and in Denver the next. But there's people that are next door to you that Brian can't help, that Jim can't help, that First Lady Ness can't help. But you can, because you know their need, and you can just simply be a listening ear to them. All you have time. Do you have 2 minutes? You can help somebody. Do you have resources? It might be that you have resources. Some, you know, it doesn't have to be money. It can be your wisdom. Whatever it is that is in your power, don't let the enemy tell you, I don't have anything to give. Just start. Just do something for someone. Engage in random acts of kindness one at a time, one day at a time, and then it'll become a lifestyle if you're others-minded and you want to help people.
Nice. First Lady Nez, tell me the geography of the Navajo Nation. What does that encompass?
They always compare it to the size of West Virginia.
Ah.
So where a lot of it is in Arizona,
okay,
and part of it's in New Mexico and a little portion in Utah. So it's a big area.
It's a big area. And mm-hmm. I know that technology, cell phones and all kinds of things are now changing the way you communicate with your nation. I can't keep up with my kids. I mean, they could have a conversation with you and text in their right hand and type just as quickly some other message while having other conversations. So the technology is just off the chart. Are you able to communicate with people in the Navajo Nation the same way? I mean, I kind of feel like we can almost never call people in New Mexico in general, because it doesn't seem like Verizon and all these other cell phone services work that well. But I guess I'm just asking, you're going to have this conference. We're on the radio now and we're reaching people throughout several counties here in northern New Mexico. But we really want to appeal to everybody that you can go to the website. I'll have Mercy say that one more time in just a second, but you can sign up for this. The whole nation right now is looking at you for leadership, and I know that you have a personal faith, and you are not hiding the fact that you are a person of faith, but tell us about how you care about people regardless of their faith.
That is, you know, I think it's easier to do that when you can just see a person as a person and a human as a human. And, you know, just from my studies of psychology, you know, human nature does not change regardless what ethnicity we are or what nationality we are. And that's always been something that stuck to me. Mm-hmm. And so when you see people as people, that it's easier to relate to everyone like that.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything about the Navajo culture or Native American culture in general that creates an antagonism between men and women? I look at American culture in general, and I see things like pornography, and I see how women are objectified, and I just think that dishonors women. And there's many, many things that men do to dishonor women. And, you know, there's stories about that all the time. There's jokes made about professional women who get paid less money for having equal jobs. Now, I think that's diminishing quite a bit. I think that women are finally getting recognized for the talents and giftedness that they have. But in the midst of that, you said something interesting in a previous segment about how you depend upon the leadership and the guidance that your husband is providing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're obviously a woman that stands on her own and does things as well. Is that a difficult balance to keep?
Not really, I don't think. But I can see where, you know, in Navajo culture, it's a matrilineal society, right?
Uh-huh.
So a lot of times when we were growing up, it's always the woman has ownership over the possessions, right?
Uh-huh.
And the man's kind of just there to help and, you know, be there for procreation.
Oh,
right?
Really?
But, you know, but then when you look back on the Bible, you know, that's really that when you look at it from that side, it's a completely different perspective. And so I always think, you know, that of course I'm biased here, right?
Sure.
You know, we're all biblically based family and everything. And to me, it just makes more sense, I guess. I mean, to have the word there to guide us, right? Everything's spelled out there. The teachings are there. And the role of men, the role of them in different capacities is spelled out. And the same thing for women.
Yeah.
There's no vague anywhere. There's no gray lines about anything there. Yeah. And so that's something that I've always tended to go back
yeah.
to.
Yeah. Well, so, and your husband's obviously honoring you and loving you and extending that. I'm going to switch over to Brian now. Brian, in your relationship with President Jonathan Nez, and now knowing his wife as well as you do, what might he have shared that he feels is central to the Navajo and Native American communities around this country healing and growing and becoming what God intends them to be?
Yeah, you know, 2 years he shared with me about the need for an awakening, a spiritual awakening on the whole reservation so people could find the power of God to break generational cycles. So generational cycles of alcoholism, maybe gambling, maybe addiction, those kind of things to really break that. We need the power of Christ, and social programs can only help so much, right? You can only have so many social programs if they're not Christ based, if they're not biblical based. They're helpful. I mean, I'd rather have something than nothing.
Yes.
But the real power is in the gospel. The real power is in the good news that there was a man who happened to be the Son of God who died on a cross and rose from the dead 3 days later. That's the real power. And President Nez really understands that, and he's trying to do that. Now, obviously, when you're president of everybody.
Yep.
He's president of the Christians. So he's leading. He's a Christian man, but he's leading a nation that has Christians and non-Christians in it. And I think just like George Washington, you love everybody. You serve for the good of all your people.
Mm.
And yet your faith guides you. It directs you. It informs the decisions that you make. And so I think he's really passionate about seeing a spirit. I mean, First Lady would know better. But what I heard him talk, it's about we want to see an awakening. We want to see alcohol go down. We want to see addiction go down. We want to see marriages last. We want to see kids grow up to say, hey, I could be prosperous. I could have a job. I could have a house. I could build a family that... Because we believe the gospel doesn't just affect our spiritual life, it affects our financial life, It affects our morality, our sex life, our marriage, our relationships. If the gospel has its way, Jesus said it's like a little bit of leaven. You put it in some dough. It doesn't stay there in one corner. It works its way through the whole thing. And that's the gospel. The gospel won't just affect your prayer life. Mm-hmm. It affects your marriage. Mm-hmm. And you'll treat your spouse better. You'll treat your children better. That's the fruit of the Spirit growing in our lives. And so we're really excited. In fact, I was in D.C. a couple of weeks ago with the president of National Day of Prayer, Kathy Branzell, is a really good friend of mine. And Mercy calls and says, I'm having lunch with First Lady and Nez and President Nez here in Albuquerque. We're having lunch. And wanted you to greet President Nez. And so I told Kathy, hey, I'm with the president. She goes, and she starts crying. She says, got to put it on my heart that in 2020 at the National Day of Prayer in the U.S. Capitol to invite the president of the Navajo Nation because we want to honor the code talkers. And she said, but nobody I knew had any direct relationship to President Nez. I didn't know how to get a hold of him. And she said, this morning I was up crying in my prayer spot in my hotel room saying, God, how do I get to the president? You told me to do this and I don't know how to reach him. And then we're eating and the President Nez is there with my wife. And I says, hey, Kathy, why don't you say hi to him when he calls? And she invited him. So President and First Lady Nez will be going to D.C. next May for the National Day of Prayer. He's going to be speaking at the Capitol, which I think is a historic moment that the president of a Navajo Nation is speaking there at a prayer service in the U.S. in the Absolutely. House of Representatives, right? I mean, like, that's a historic moment.
That sounds extra special.
We're going to go with them. We'll be their hosts in D.C., so I know that city a little bit. So,
hey, we are going to take one more break, and then we have a short segment. It always goes so fast, and I'm sorry. I apologize in advance. We're going to have to get you back in. We're talking about the Native American Honor Her Conference, Saturday, October 26th at Rehoboth Christian School in northern New Mexico. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12. Hello, Scott Simpkins from Petrie Buick GMC and Petrie Kia. That's one of my favorite verses. It reminds us how to treat others, to be kind, respectful, and honest, among other things. That's a core value at Petrie. We love helping customers and always do so in the same manner we would want to be treated. If you have any automotive needs, including service, I invite you to stop by Petrie Buick GMC or Petrie Kia on Eagle Ranch Road across from the Cottonwood Mall.
No matter what, your system is going to break.
Are you kidding me?
When it does, give Bosque Heating and Cooling a call.
Perfect.
That's 444-7200. Whatever it is, Bosque is just a call away. 444-7200. Yeah, that's their number. 444-7200. Or visit www.ourhouseishot.com. That's www.ourhouseishot.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Please put on your calendar, Saturday, October 26th, the Native American Honor Her Conference will be held at Rehoboth Christian School from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we have Mercy Allred, founder of Virtuous Women, Brian Allred, the president of America Praise, and the first lady of the Navajo Nation, Fafilia Nez. You guys have been great being here. Let's say, Mercy, give us the website, how people can sign up. Give us that a couple times.
Yes, the website is virtuouswomen.tv/events. Let me say that again, virtuouswomen.tv/events. You can find tickets there, and you can also purchase scholarships for people, for Native women to go to this conference.
Well, and if anybody's missing any of this or if they haven't heard this whole interview, you can go to abqconnect.online. I'll be sending this to you guys via emails, but you can go to abqconnect.online, and this will be there on our podcast site. Any of the podcast apps will receive this. We'll have a nice picture of our three guests today, and we appreciate so much you guys being here. I want to ask everybody, I want you to challenge us. Fafilia, I'll ask you first. We are all really good in America at honoring people that are dead. You really want us to honor people right now that are alive, and particularly women. How can we do that today?
You know, maybe just by reminding them of what we see in them, that we do see what they've gone through. We see what they've done. That there's, you know, a lot of times I always think women go through life not knowing that there's somebody else watching them. Mm. And a lot of times it's a surprise to them when they realize somebody notices that all the struggles, the challenges, and just like the sacrifices, you know, all of those things that they've done just to get through where they're at. in their current lives.
And Mercy shared her friend, given her a medal. What else can we do today to honor someone?
I think make a list of the people that you're grateful for. I think gratitude is what's missing. We're so busy doing everything, you know, buying groceries and going to work and putting gas in our car and worrying about things that we forget to be grateful for the people in our lives. And so I'd say make a list. That's what Janice challenged me to do. So when remember that story I told you about giving me the medal?
Yes.
Right after that, she pulled out a little grocery bag with 10 medals in the bag.
Wow.
And said, I challenge you to do the same thing that I just did for you to 10 women. And so I had that challenge to make a list of 10 women. And I just, when I wrote that list, I just wept at the things that I remembered about these women. And so one by one by one, I've been able to do that. And it's simple. You know, 5 minutes, just write it out. What are you grateful for? You're going to make that woman's year, not just day, but that woman's year, because she's going to feel seen and she's going to know that she's heard.
Brian Allred, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You've got your lovely bride sitting next to you. Give some honor to this woman right now.
You know, Mercy, I work for the Billy Graham Association, so I met a lot of great leaders. Mercy's the best Christian I've ever met, most devoted Christ follower. And so when God put this vision in her heart for virtuous women, we knew it was bigger than Albuquerque. We knew it was bigger than New Mexico. You know, she said, can this be part of America Prays? Absolutely. How would you unite a nation in prayer without engaging women? Like, that'd be impossible, right?
Wow.
And so I'm really grateful for my wife. And she's a professor of discipleship at Regent University, professor of education at CNM. This year, she took an assignment with the Census Bureau to make sure everybody gets counted so we get the resources our state and desperately needs. She mothers our three children and takes care of me and helps shepherd people. Mercy's an extraordinary human being, and I love her and I honor her. So,
well, I appreciate that word. And I need to say to First Lady Nez, you gave us a gentle, powerful word. And I so much appreciate you being here today. That was really neat. Happen to know also that Brian Allred is going to be speaking at the Men of Honor.
That's right.
Tomorrow night at La Cueva High School. What time does that start, Brian?
Yeah, food trucks at 5 and worship at 6:30.
Oh, men have to have food trucks.
That's right.
What about women? The women are into the food trucks like men are. I would guess we're all gluttonous. Who knows? Well, we're
thank
so blessed to have you guys, and we'll have to have you back on. So thank you all for joining us on ABQ Connect. We'll see you tomorrow, and have a great day.
Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.